skippy. You must give me your skippy.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Welcome to the Don't Back Down show, the day before Thanksgiving, and Liz, our wonderful director here,
executive producer, don't demote her,
has brought everything but turkey.
I didn't want you to fall asleep.
And she didn't want us to fall asleep.
She also forgot the ice for the drinks.
Oh, yeah, the ice for the drinks. And where's the dessert? We're supposed to have dessert here.
There's chocolate over there.
Yeah.
So, by the way, and my fabulous co-host who once told me the difference between a good lawyer and a bad lawyer is a bad lawyer might let a case drag on for several years, but a good lawyer makes it last a heck of a lot longer. My fabulous co-host, Andy Teitelman. And, of course, she once told me the reason the Code of Ethics prevents sex between politicians and their constituencies to prevent consistency prevent the constituency from being screwed continually for the same services, our fabulous executive co-host, producer Liz Diehl, who is here today to have fun with all her snacks. And, of course, our production engineer and sound mixer who believes wearing a superhero costume every day he can impress us with his superhero costume. I love the costume he's got on today. So, anyhow, and, of course, we have William Michaels, our man with two first names, in charge of getting everything out on the Internet, including our pictures, which... our video, which should break the Internet.
Stan, I don't know if you know this, but in the control room, they call him Billy Mike.
Billy Mike?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. He's now known as Billy Mike, effectively. So, and we're also joined today by Angelina Banks, who sits in every once in a while. She'll be here next Wednesday. Are you going to be here next Wednesday?
I'll be here in December and in January.
December 27th,
yes. And, of course, she calls in with what's happening in Springfield.
And we missed you.
Springfield Township.
We missed you. I just want to say something really quick while I have a second. I want to be telling you how grateful I am for you guys. It's Thanksgiving, and I am so thankful for you and Andy. And thank you for including me and always just treating me so good. And you really do to everybody, but I just want to...
I feel so bad that this is going to be your last day now.
I know, right?
Yeah,
no,
We forgot to tell her.
Yeah, damn.
Bad timing. That's why I brought all the extra snacks. I just want to show my gratitude for everything that you guys do for the show and for your friends and for me. I'm very grateful.
Well, we appreciate it because you're like us. You know, you want things to be right. And I listened to Tucker Carlson... He was doing a speech effort in Las Vegas, and he said that if you begin to believe the people that are not telling you the truth, you become their slaves, and that it's more important to have the dignity to tell the truth. And there's two times when you don't have to tell the truth. One is if you don't want to hurt somebody's feeling, don't say anything. And the other time is if you got a loved one and you don't want to hurt their feelings, you don't have to say anything. He said, those are two times I'll allow that. But other than that, the truth is more important, and he doesn't see that at all. He said, how can people look at this senile person running the country and think he's running the country? And then I was thinking, there's Mayorkas in front of the Senate telling everybody consistently that the borders are secure, and there's thousands of people calling the border, crossing the border. How can we, I don't know how the man can do it with a straight face.
I think a big paycheck, it really helps him.
Well, sure. It's beyond that. This is a man who doesn't care about us, that we are not important. It's not that they tell it to you. They don't care about us. They don't care about
what our
choices are.
No, that's what I mean. They don't care about us, and I believe that they're bought off. They care about money. They don't, or power.
No, they don't care about us. It goes more than that.
What?
And yes, there might be more than that. There is this insidious group of people who want globalism, who want a one-world situation, and they forget that, and I'm not the most religious guy, but I know the Bible, and I've said this before, the Tower of Babel, they tried to do it, and the tower collapsed, and this will be the same thing will happen, and it's never good what these people do. So I want TJ to play. We're going to start this new listen. We're going to be joined by Joe Gazzardi today. A great guy, we're starting this new little thing that we're going to do in the beginning of the show, and it's called The Rant. And anybody sitting at this desk can rant for a couple minutes on an issue that's really bugging the heck out of them.
Play the new rant music.
So we want to play the new rant music, which is, if TJ's got it right, take off the superhero costume and get it right.
He's lifting the safety button.
That is the Rolling Stones. Can't, you know.
Get it on.
Can't
oh my
get it
God,
on.
He's
Rolling
slipping.
Stones don't say can't
oh,
get geez. It on. It's
Take the superhero costume off. I thought you were all programmed in. Start me up. Let's go.
You look cute.
Thank you.
Time's up.
By the time he gets a plane, Mick Jagger will be here for an interview. Here we go.
All right, we would play a little bit longer, but since CJ was a little bit behind on that, so let's start it up today, and I'll take the first crack at it, and you're next.
What, you're going to do Age Before Beauty?
Yes, Age Before Beauty gets right. It every time. Today we find ourselves in an era when the Democratic Socialist Progressive Party, because that's what they are, although it bears the name Democratic, diverges significantly from the values championed by prominent figures in their party in the past, like Jack Kennedy, Scoop Jackson, and, of course, even Robert Kennedy Jr. today had to get out of the party. But I'd like to shed some light on the two main policy areas that they love to talk about all the time, and that is pro-choice and abortion. So let's see how that applies to the Democratic Party. Now, the Democratic Party stands on pro-choice. One of the major concerns of Americans, it's 75% of the Americans, currently hate the situation at the border. The crisis exhibited by this open-door policy has created major problems in our communities. It is costing us thousands of dollars, additional tax dollars. And this impact manifests itself with increased taxes and limiting the resources to the American citizens and redirecting it to these people who've come here unlawfully. So you see them giving money out, housing, and everything else to these people. So, in effect, the pro-choice part is American are choosing to control the border, but the Democrats are opposed to that pro-choice that we're having, and they've made an abortion of the border. So that's part of their policy. I'll give you another, for instance. About 80% of Americans want their communities protected from rising crime rates. The other 20% are the criminals. So just that's why I got the 80-20, just to let you know. Why it wouldn't be 100%, there's always 20% of the criminals who don't want it. Which is wreaking havoc in our communities and neighborhood. The Democratic Party stance on these issues are like defund the police, coupled with lenient prosecutors and judges, seems to run counter to the pro-choice sentiment of American people, which is we need police, we need to have judges that put people in jail who are committing these heinous crimes. And so here again, not only have they been opposed to the pro-choice of American people, but they've made an abortion of our cities, of our states. Look at all the blue states, the four blue states that are out there, California, New York, Oregon, and Washington are now considered the worst states to live in. So they've made an abortion of the states and of crime. The next thing you talk about pro-choice significantly is the party, totally lost where I was. Oh, so here, the other thing is the pro-choice for American people is the choice. We don't want inflation. We want to be able to have gasoline that we can take trips. We want an energy source that's not driving us out of our homes and preventing us from feeding our families. So clearly 70% of the people are opposed to the economics that the Democratic Party's doing. And therefore, they're opposed to the pro-choice of American people. And they've literally made an abortion of our of our economy, and it's only going to get worse. Just talk about the Democrats discussed their policies in terms of abortion and pro-choice. It's essential to recognize the broader implications of these policies in our country. And the pro-choice in practice means aligning pro-choice to the Democratic Party means that we have to align them ourselves to their choices, not the choices that we want. So what the Democratic Party does best is make an abortion of everything they touch. Remember, millions of immigrants that are coming into this country are leaving progressive socialist countries that have created an absolute abortion in their countries. So that's my tentative rant for the day.
Well, Stan, I have a counterbalance to your rant because you're talking about the Democrat Party and what they do to our country. I'm going to talk about the Republican Party and what they don't do for our country. I'm going to start with the Republican voter. Here in Pennsylvania, there's a statistic that I learned about shortly after the election that approximately 2 million registered Republicans did not bother to vote. They didn't show up at the polls, and they didn't mail in their ballot. That is an unmitigatable disgrace, in my opinion. So if you are a registered voter and you don't vote, even by mail, it's better than nothing because they still have to deal with your vote when you send it in by mail. And who knows, maybe we can overwhelm the systems that permit the cheating by just voting. If you are a registered Republican who doesn't vote, you're a disgrace. That's it. There's no other call for it. Worse are people who are eligible to vote who don't bother registering. It's so easy to register now that it's unbelievable. So if you're old enough to vote and you're a conservative and you don't register and vote, you're a disgrace. Now we're going to turn to the PA GOP and most of the county GOPs who do nothing to promote the candidates. They don't get the vote out. They're not knocking on doors. If we just did what the Democrats do to get those ballots in, the ballot harvesting, whatever you want to call it, we might start winning elections, especially the local ones. So in Bucks County and Montgomery County, all of the Republican elections that we should have won that we didn't win, you who didn't come out to vote, you're a disgrace. And a bigger disgrace, the biggest disgrace of all, are the local party leadership, if you want to call them that, who didn't promote people coming out to vote, who didn't get boots on the ground, canvassers going out to, quote, harvest the votes. We got what we deserve, which is an almost unanimous Democratic victory throughout the entire Commonwealth in our two main counties here in Montgomery and Bucks. So there's my rant.
Well, there's a couple of good points in that rant. The problem is that the establishment is so busy trying to raise money, I haven't seen them put – there was no ads. There was nothing. They have to fight for these things. They have to give people a reason to come out and vote for them, and that's one of the things that have fallen down. Now –
they're not getting the word out. They're not even trying.
I know Tom DiBella, who won the is now the one of the commissioners in Montgomery County. He won because he went out and gave everybody a message.
He also won because they had to give us at least one minority supervisor.
That's true, but there were four people running, and he was the one that got the messaging out the best.
You know, I'm a committee person and, you know, that's our job to get out there and door knock and, you know, take care of our own communities. And part of the problem of people not voting, I think, is the GOP has over 200 empty committee men and women seats. So
you're talking about Bucks County only right
now.
Well,
I'm just talking about Bucks County. So if you don't have that many seats filled with committee people, then nobody's.
Well, we
know
why they keep the seats
empty.
They
one
do
of the
it
reasons.
On purpose.
Well, we do know that. They do it on purpose for the proxies. But,
so they can keep the power.
But it also hurts the communities because they don't have a committee person out there, you know, reminding people to vote.
Right. Well, I know Angelina can talk about her leader in Springfield, mm-hmm. which is Jim Daly.
Jim's great.
And he is really a great leader there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have two heads of our parties. We have Jim Daly, who is hands down fantastic. He works hard for us. He gets us anything that we need. And we have Dave Mickelbacher, who did an incredible job raising money for our local candidates as well as some of our countywide candidates. As a committee person myself and being really active in my community, I can say it's a really hostile environment where I am for Republicans to be out just publicly, just to say I am a Republican, and even walk around handing out literature or trying to engage people, swing voters, independents, weak Democrats, weak Republicans. There's just, you know, the left has done a really good job of their branding, and the right's done a horrible job of combating outright lies. So there's so many misconceptions and misunderstandings that get people so emotionally riled that it's almost impossible to have conversations with people. I door knocked. I was a commissioner, a township commissioner candidate, and the people that I was able to speak with, it was wonderful. But a lot of people wouldn't even open the door to me and refuse to speak to me because I was a Republican. They didn't care what I stood for, what my values were, the vision I had for our community. They had absolutely no interest in having a conversation with me.
That's too bad.
And of course, that's because we've let down on the messaging overall. You know, common sense, conservative action. We believe in doing more of what works and less of what doesn't work. We have enough issues. I think it's a great marketing strategy to talk about where the failure are. Just look at this. Look at the city. What's happening there? Look at the crime that's going on. Look at the crime.
Even my Democrat friends don't go in. The foodie ones, the ones that love the restaurants and the, quote, nightlife, they're not going to Philadelphia anymore. And when you ask them why, they tell you it's the crime. Okay, why do you think we have that crime?
Well, these people, when they run, they tell you what they're going to do.
Well, I also think that specifically this past election locally, the main issue was abortion, which was really disappointing because there were so many positions up for election that your stance on abortion, your personal stance on abortion or the party stance is irrelevant. People in my area were talking about crime. Well, I, you know, proposed ways to strengthen various community outreach programs to rebuild our relationship with our township police. And the other guy had nothing, but because the impression is that he was pro-life, that's why they voted for him, even though that stance had absolutely nothing to do with the position.
And the office you were running for, it makes no sense.
Exactly.
Well, now, you were telling us a story before we went on air about the reaction, how you were treated at the polls. And you said it's not the first time. Why don't you share that?
No, it's not the first time. So I, as in addition to being a committee person, I'm also a poll greeter at my local polling place. And for the last 8 elections, so that's primary and general elections, I have been harassed endlessly by the by various committee people on the other side and also by the judge of elections inside of the polling place. So this year, they actually called the constable on me because they said that I was impeding access to the voting place. It was unbelievable. This woman came out, got in my face, moved my materials several times. And initially, I was trying to be accommodating. I've set up myself in the same place the last 8 elections and haven't had issues with where I was standing or what I was doing. And then this woman, she came out several times, took pictures of me, videoed me, called the county. The county sent somebody out. You know, they decided that I was not impeding. And then she even lied. She said, well, the other candidates are complaining. And my, you know, the person I was running against, he was there. And he said, I have absolutely no problem with where you are and what you're doing. And he could not believe how this woman was treating me. And I said, welcome to Springfield Township politics. This is the people that you're representing. This is how they treat people they don't agree with, people they don't like, people they don't believe deserve a voice.
And for those of you who have never met Angelina Banks, she is sweet. She is pleasant. You have to
well-spoken.
You have to get her angry to hear
honest,
anger.
An honest person in Montgomery County, and we should remember that's rare.
Yeah. So for her to be treated like that, you know, it's coming from the other side. So, you know, I this is awful. I mean, it speaks so loudly about what's going on in society in general. When I read the polls every day and I see Joe Biden is anywhere from 40 to 47% still, we're talking about getting the message out. We're talking about getting the message out broadly. We can't even get the people to understand that the state of this country is directly attributable to, and I hate to use this word, but I'm putting it in quotes, air quotes, leadership at the top. And it is the Democrat Party. It is the liberals, the leftists, not the liberals. Liberal Democrats, my God, they, you know, going back to the 60s and 70s, totally different beast. What we are living with today, and you talked about lying, they have no problem with that.
None whatsoever.
None.
They'll lie right to your face.
So, Stan, you brought up the border situation.
We have our guest on the line.
I see that. Okay, I was just doing a segue.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. This is why it's your last show. So we have today Joe Guzzardi is joining us, and I'm proud to say Bill Lawrence is also waiting on the line. And I say that because Bill Lawrence was on a couple weeks ago, and I stumbled into Joe Guzzardi because of reading Bill Lawrence online regularly, several times a day. It pops up all the time. And the one great thing about Bill Lawrence online is Bill doesn't just do his own thing there. He promotes other people. He puts up excellent work. And some of that comes from this fellow Joe Guzzardi. So, Stan, you may not have known this, but besides being a political commentator for the last 30 years, focusing on immigration and related social issues, Mr. Guzzardi happens to be an expert in baseball. His most recent story was Cy Young pitched until age 68. So I know we're going to touch on that a little bit.
Gotta touch on the baseball thing.
But Joe has...
This is a real American.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is the best part. He's actually from California, where he taught English as a second language. Makes sense. Well, it's California.
He's already interesting.
So, Joe, I don't want to waste any more time talking about you. We want to talk to you. Welcome to the Don't Back Down show.
Welcome, well, Joe. Thank you very much for inviting me, and thanks, too, for Bill Lawrence for being such a strong supporter over many, many years and putting my columns up on his site. And, you know, I'm grateful to be here talking about the things that you guys were mentioning just before I came on about the lies of the Biden administration. And it's just, it's incomprehensible. And if there's only one message that I can get across to your listeners today, it's that these people, the Biden administration, starting at the top with Biden, going all the way down, these are criminals. What they've allowed to happen at the border is against immigration law. These are impeachable offenses. They have continued with their policy, even though they know better than anybody that it's allowed fentanyl to come across unabated, sex trafficking, and all kinds of really terrible things. So that's where it's at.
Joe, as I said, they've created their issue is abortion and pro-choice, the Democrats, and they have certainly created an abortion on the border, and they've done everything to prevent the choice of American public to have the border controlled. So whatever the Democrats say they're doing, they're always doing the opposite.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is from day one. This is all the border I'm referring to. This is all purposeful. And again, these are the worst kinds of crimes, and the intention is very clear, to destroy the sovereign American nation. And, nothing that has happened so far and nothing that could happen is going to sway them into creating some kind of a manageable immigration policy. I mean, this is awful. Nobody in the Biden administration, or really nobody in the U.S., has any idea who these individuals are, what their backgrounds are, what their intentions are. I mean, that is one phrase that could sum up the whole border situation. Nobody knows.
So Joe Guzzardi, for those who have not had the opportunity to read you, what you're saying is not anything newly formed in terms of your thoughts and opinions and your analysis. I went back to 2020, right as Biden was coming into office. I think the elections were over, but obviously hadn't been sworn in yet. And this was also a Bill Lawrence Online.com. You did an article called Scranton Joe and Immigration, where you called it, you laid it out, and you warned us with statistics, and damn if you aren't right.
You know, that's really that was a very interesting column to write, because Scranton is a blue-collar town, and of course, Biden falsely likes to refer to himself as blue-collar Joe. But, the city went overwhelmingly for Biden, even though he had made it clear in his campaign that he was going to take a expansionist approach to immigration. So who are among the most harmed individuals? Well,
the blue collar.
Who does immigration hurt the most? Blue collar workers.
I just have one small correction. He used to call himself Lunch Bucket Joe. Now he's Out to Lunch Joe.
Yeah. I mean, it's really
America Last. That should be their slogan. America Last.
Yeah, I mean, it's really time for people to wake up. If this doesn't wake people up, then I don't know what. The concern is, are the Republicans smart enough to be able to take advantage of this in 2024?
No. The answer is no.
I have to, you might have an R after, like I have an R after my name. Andy has an R after her name. But we consider ourselves common sense conservative people who just want the best to keep on doing things that work and not, and less things that don't work, which there's plenty of historical record to it. The problem is we have an establishment. Of course, Phyllis Schlafly always spoke and wrote a book about it, A Choice, Not an Echo. And in that book, she clearly shows how the establishments of both party never want to do what the populists want to do. They always want to push their echo and never give us a choice. And they want us to follow what they say is what we should choose to do. And for the most part, and that's one of the reasons why they really fear Donald Trump, because when you go to his rallies, he is a true populist. There's nothing wrong about being a populist. He wants to do what the people want. They want controlled borders. They want controlled economy that gives everybody an opportunity. They want to stop this race baiting that's going on. And this is where we're at today. So they don't do that message. I haven't seen McConnell do a message.
We need a MAGA party.
McConnell
is like, it's despicable. I throw popcorn at the TV every time he comes on the TV.
He's among the worst.
Well, he's married to Elaine Chao. I mean, you know, they might as well just move to China and work from there.
He's among the worst. And if you take a look back at some of the House leadership. I mean, they were terrible too. Boehner and Cantor and all of those guys. They were open borders guys. So, you know, Republican voters really have any serious places to turn to. Now, this guy, Mike Johnson, has a good record, but is he going to have the backbone, a good record on immigration voting? But is he going to have the backbone to stand up and really get serious about getting these good border bills into law?
Well, he just had all the January 6th tapes released. I think that he will.
So we've got Bill Lawrence standing by. Bill, did you want to say anything? Come on, join the conversation.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I just wanted to say hello. So I think the first time we talked, you're really appreciated. You're really well read, and I get a lot of good feedback on you.
Oh, thank you so much for being such a longtime supporter.
You do great. I'm just listening, and everything you're saying is you get to the point where you preach to the choir. It's scary, and it's corrupt, and it just blows my mind that people can't use common sense to deal with it. I mean, there's laws, and the laws are literally passed, and they're literally ignored. I mean, it's important that we're talking about it. It's important that we reach out. But that's you're right. This is a crisis.
Joe, one of the things I saw a speech by Tucker just recently, and it was on X, and he says that, he says right now, when we talk about solving things politically, it's basically done where people on both sides have different issue and they talk calmly and sometimes a little bit strongly, but they come to some solution. But today that's not the case at all. So this is no longer a political situation, because if it was political, they wouldn't be indicting Donald Trump. If he were somebody, what they're indicting him for is so bogus, it's unbelievable.
Every single one of them.
And so they wouldn't be doing that. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing to the J6 people. And then I don't know if you saw this, and I would highly recommend to everybody that's listening to me, because I saw this documentary, and I must tell you, by the end of this documentary, I was so angry of how, and that it, the documentary's called The Fall of Minnesota, and it's been produced by the former anchor 12-year anchor.
Fall of Minneapolis.
Of Minneapolis. The That's fall close. Of Minneapolis, excuse me. Well, I think it's called...
No, it's about Minneapolis.
It's about Minneapolis, but it's called the Fall of Minnesota. Hmm. And it's done by this 12-year anchor woman in Minneapolis who got fired because she wanted to investigate more about Floyd and how this all happened. And the document with video and testimony and everything goes from when Floyd was in the store trying to pass the bogus counterfeit bill, and it shows the store owner calling the cops and what happened after that. And I must tell you, everything you've seen that they put out there is literally a lie.
So it was produced by Liz Cohen. It can be watched for free. It was crowdfunded. It is The Fall of Minneapolis. It's at www.thefallofminneapolis.com. I watched this yesterday because Stan brought it to my attention, and we all thought we knew the story. We know that Derek Chauvin was not guilty of killing George Floyd. But when you see what really happened, it takes that and it rubs it in your face. And so this is D'Souza quality work. And everybody should watch it. I put it up on all the social media things that I do, and I can't recommend it more highly. And I just want you to know, we are reaching out to Liz Cohen, and I have a line on Derek Chauvin's mother, who was featured in this film, and hopefully we're going to get them on the Don't Back Down show. But I'm sorry, Stan, for interrupting your question.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'll give you one sample. They showed the video that everybody's seen that it looks like Chauvin's knee is on Floyd's neck. But there was another video from a different angle on the officer's body cam from behind that shows he had his knee on his back.
Well, and it was a police technique.
And they never
and they
showed
were friends.
They never
friends.
Showed that the judge disallowed to have that in there. Plus the fact he kept on saying this is a technique, and even the police commissioner
lied
on the stand because they actually show you the manual where it's in it.
And they wouldn't let him use the manual.
And they wouldn't let him even show the manual. So we are being lied to continually. And when I see Mayorkas, and you can, Joe, you must, your blood pressure might go up, and he says the border is secure, you just want to jump through the TV and wring his neck. I mean.
Stan, we're past our commercial. Hang on, gents. We're going to come right back to you. We have to break for a commercial real fast, and we're going to come back to the Don't Back Down show with Stan Casaccio, Andy Teitelman, Liz Deal, and today Angelina Banks is joining us. We have the inimitable Bill Lawrence online, along with our special guest today, Joe Gazzardi. We'll be right back.
Is it a good time to buy a home or too late to be selling your home? Are we facing a global financial crisis like in 2008? And what the heck is going on with these interest rates? Diane Cardano-Casaccio from the Cardano Real Estate Team with all the information you need to know about the current housing market. First, stop listening to the mainstream media. Next, call me or go to my YouTube channel for my predictions and advice. I predict home prices to go up and inventory to rise when the interest rates come down to at least 5.3%. But Thanksgiving is coming. Put all your worries aside and meet me at the Abington Firehouse Tuesday, November 21st to get your free Thanksgiving apple or pumpkin pie, courtesy of me and my team. From 9 to 5, also get my report on why this real estate market is not going to crash, as well as get a signed copy of my home selling book. Reserve your pie at GetFreePie.com, GetFreePie.com, or call 215-576-8666. See you there.
Say you're a normal person who wants to become a leftist. Great, sounds like a good step of personal development to me. But you might run into problems trying to learn how to think like a leftist. Because with leftist logic that lacks any rooting in rational thought, integrity, or self-awareness, you can be left confused and unable to grasp their unique thinking methods. That's why I'm going to walk you through a very clear flow chart that'll show you exactly how to think like a leftist, so you can too. It's pretty simple. Let's start from the beginning. Okay, now you got to know how to contemplate some key questions and political hot topics. Let's take a peek at how you can look at any incident and decipher, is it an insurrection? Are you being led into the Capitol building by a security guard? Yes. Well, then it is an insurrection, and those bastards should spend a year and a half in prison as political prisoners because they're insurrectionists. And you're thinking like a leftist. Okay, now let's say, no, you're not going into the Capitol building. Well, are you storming the Supreme Court and protesting outside the homes of judges, even though that carries a one-year jail sentence? Yes, you are. Okay, well, that's different because it's much worse, which makes it better. So, no, that is not an insurrection because you're just trying to overthrow the justice system of the U.S. because you're a leftist. Now let's see how...
And that is one of the parts. There's several more parts of thinking like a leftist, and some of them are really over the top.
I love him.
So, Joe, I think you got the message right there, right?
That's J.P. Spears.
Yes, and, you know, I have seen the Minneapolis video, and I'll also recommend a column that the New York Post published by Miranda Devine that kind of summarizes what's on the video. And you made a great point there about the police officer. Now, here is a guy who was doing, you know, performing his job exactly as he should have been performing it, and apprehending a guy with a long criminal history, and his life is ruined. I mean, Biden and the rest of them don't care.
It's not that bad. He got free room and board for 6 years.
You know,
unbelievable the extent to which they brazenly break the law and are indifferent to all of the consequences. One of the things that very rarely gets mentioned but is a favorite topic of mine is that, okay, let's just say that there's 8 million people who have come across. But in very little time, these individuals might start to grow their families or marry and have children or petition their relatives from abroad. And the next thing you know, 8 million illegal aliens is going to be, 16 or 20 million illegal immigrants. So it's going to completely create chaos in big cities. It's going to convert rural communities into big cities. It's going to be ugly.
And Joe Gazzardi, it's not as though this were by mistake or a coincidence, because you have another article talking about Europeans experiencing migration compassion fatigue. This is a worldwide Western side epidemic that's being brought on by our political class. And here's where I talk about the Uniparty and what they're really trying to accomplish. Whether you say you're Democrat or Republican, I think it's bread and circuses. I think they're distracting us from what they're doing. This is a takedown of Western civilization as we know it. And I want you to talk about your October 19th article, which is U.S. with open border has so far, and you put that in ellipses, avoided mass terror attack. Do you think they're setting us up for that?
Just look at the numbers. We've been using 8 million as the number of illegal aliens who have crossed into the border, plus, maybe a million or more gotaways. And we know that they've come from nations that are hostile, at least some have come from nations that are hostile to the United States. So what are the odds? The odds certainly favor incidents occurring. You know, again, nobody in the United States government really knows who these individuals are, and certainly nobody knows where they are. You know, the government doesn't know where they are for them. Most basic reason. They're not looking for them.
You know, there's another side to this thing, too. I mean, you have these progressive leftists talking about climate and the environment and everything else. What does 22 million illegal people coming into your country do to your environment? Okay. I sit on a zoning hearing board. People complain about density all the time. But where are 22 million people going to live? I mean, it is the most hypocritical policies I've ever seen. They're creating more demands on our resources, our infrastructure, with no controls whatsoever. I have never met so many smart, stupid people, because a lot of these people are very smart. But in their own mind, it doesn't make sense. This is why you never listen to a professor in college. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Ooh.
And he's sitting there in a class, and this economics guy, this business guy, is trying to tell you how to go by 1, 2, 3, and 4 and build your own business. And Rodney keeps on interrupting him and says, hold on a minute. You forgot to pay off the union. How about those corrupt officials? And he goes through all this list of what you got to do for business. But this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people who in their own mind have this pure idea. So they have no common sense whatsoever. And this is another conflict in leaving open borders. It destroys our environment.
Stan, I just want to add to that. You know, I was trying to get some sort of tax exemption. You know, I needed a little bit of help. And the government told me there is none, and we've been out for over a year. And I said, well, do you know when there might be again? You know, because
you will cross the border and come back and you'll get everything.
That's what the ombudsman told her to do.
Everything that was available to help people in this country, it's not available anymore. No, they have no idea, they said. We have no idea.
Go ahead.
You know, and they almost say it's like you see the Disney effect again. It's like where they romanticize things and there's this idealism and everyone wants to do the quote unquote right thing, but nobody ever really thinks about the unintended consequences of what the right thing is or just how anything is actually going to work. When people say, I want free this, I want free that. Well, just because it's free to you does not mean that it's not paid for by somebody. And when something is subsidized by the federal government, it's usually subsidized by the U.S. taxpayers, by the legal citizens. It's us.
No doubt about that. Yeah. And that leads right back to my original premise that I brought to Joe Gazzardi. Stan's right. The average leftist or Democrat on the street, the rank and file, they think they're doing good things. They think these are good policies. But I do disagree where it comes to the politicians. They absolutely know what they're doing. It's intentional. I don't give them an inch of benefit of the doubt anymore. And that includes the Republicans who have done nothing about it. And I'm talking about the election systems. For 3 years, people are spinning their wheels. Nothing has happened. There has been no real improvement. There's some grassroots organizations like Audit the Vote PA on a national level.
But
they don't get anything done. They don't have the resources.
They're all over the place. And a perfect Joe, one of the things is in Montgomery County, when I looked at the initial votes, as soon as the poll closed, they counted all the mail-in ballots. Every Republican candidate, there was 72,000 mail-in ballots. Every Republican candidate was 64,000 ballots behind before any count even started. And I'm going, how does that happen?
It's like autopilot. It happens automatically. It just gets inserted instantly. So Joe Gazzardi, even when the left itself, it's some of its own leaders start shouting out about this, they get destroyed. You wrote an article about New York City Mayor Adams' woes mount. He's actually, as far as a Democrat goes, actually speaking out about the impact of this forced migration on his city. Do you see any hope in the Democrat side itself, the leaders at less than the national level, actually maybe making a difference in this regard?
Well, Adams certainly got a lesson in the consequences of speaking out. I mean, here he is for the last several months. He's been rightly protesting the impact that all of these illegal aliens is having on New York, on schools and hospitals and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, he's got the FBI and the Justice Department after him for questions regarding his campaign funding when he ran a couple of years back. So, I mean, it's just hard to say what's going to happen for sure in some of these tight congressional races in 2024, Democrats who are vulnerable, you know, they're going to start to sing a different story. But something has to come of it. I mean, it's just not – it's gotten to the point now where really you want to hope for an immigration moratorium or near moratorium so that the country can catch up for what's happened with 3 years of Biden's open border. You know, it just is not – this is clearly not sustainable. So if another, let's say Biden doesn't run or they throw him out, but to replace Biden with Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris or Adam Schiff or one of those guys, you know, you're just
we're in trouble.
Giving up, basically.
I have an important question to ask you.
Whether it's Trump or DeSantis, it's important to get somebody in there who's serious
and is willing to stand up to the fight. I wanted to ask you a very important question. As a baseball aficionado, who do you consider the greatest baseball player of all times through all the different years?
Oh, that's a slam dunk. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. I'd like to suggest, I believe it's Yogi Berra is one of the greatest, because nobody has more World Series rings than he does by leaps and bounds. He was a home run hitter that averaged only striking out 12 times during a season. You look at all his statistics, I was blown away, and I remember watching him play. He was just this great all-around hitter and tremendous player, and also wound up being a very good coach, too. So that was my pick. I don't know who
I actually did. I did a column on Berra maybe a couple of World Series ago, and the premise was that you know, Reggie Jackson has gotten this title of Mr. October, but clearly Mr. October is Yogi Berra. And I talked about the things that you just mentioned. And I went to the museum over there in New Jersey, at Montclair, I guess.
Yeah, the Yogi Berra Museum.
Yeah, the Yogi Berra Museum, definitely worthwhile. I mean, it was fantastic.
By the way, I went to school with Reggie Jackson. Just to let you know, we graduated together. Of course, he wouldn't know me if he fell over me, but he
you
was...
You went to school with a lot of people.
I know, I did. I went to school with...
well, he was in school for a lot of years. Yeah, he never passed him.
Yes. I've been
Good
doing
one,
this
Andy.
For... I actually went to school with Abraham Lincoln, I think, at one time. I don't know. But
what was a young Reggie like?
Well, he was very thin, number one, but he was our basketball team, our track team, our baseball team, and our football team. He was the whole... A great athlete, not a bad student, very popular, a tough dude, though. I mean, not the most, you know, social person, picking his friends very carefully. But he was everything. I mean, I would go there. I just couldn't believe how, you know, I was a pretty good runner, but he had me beat by a mile. So he was a great guy from that standpoint.
I lived in New York during that whole Reggie, Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner era. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was just every day. It was something else. And it was just a great time to live in New York
I don't know if I can pick a favorite player, because there's a lot who, for their playing skill, I like. But Yogi Berra, I think, for his sayings, was probably the best player
Absolutely.
Of all. And what was that? It's deja vu all over again. That's a classic.
Yeah.
It ain't over till it's over.
If you come to a fork in the road, take it. But I found out the derivation of that was he lived on a cul-de-sac. So when you came into the cul-de-sac, it didn't make any difference which way you went. And it was like, if you come to a fork in the road, you have to take it, because eventually you wind up at his house. So I found out what that was all about.
Well, and this is a perfect segue into our commercial for Roofing Dynamics Group. For our listeners who own or manage large commercial properties, have you ever had any roofing issues?
Yes.
I know you have. You actually hired them.
I hired them. I tested them out, and they were great. Absolutely great.
Well, you needed work because they came in their golf shoes, and they were looking. Right. They had a special that week. Do you even know the true condition of your roof? Roofing is something that you don't think about until you have a problem, and by then it's too late to avoid costly repairs or replacements. Did you know that nearly every large flat roof has a leak at some point? Whether from a severe storm or age, even a small leak can have devastating effects on your building and its occupants. With so much at stake, be proactive and call Roofing Dynamics Group, the trusted advisor you need to tell you the true condition of your roof. Utilizing modern technology such as infrared scans, moisture probes, and even drone scans, Roofing Dynamics can pinpoint immediate problems before they become huge problems with precise accuracy. They can evaluate just how long your commercial roof will last and provide recommendations and budgets that will save you money. And that's where Roofing Dynamics is different.
If only we treated the elections like that.
Oh, don't you wish.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Yes. Roofing Dynamics does not do roofing work. They analyze your roof and they tell you whether you need the work. And, yeah, they'll recommend suppliers and they'll recommend service people to do the work for you. But that's you're getting a trusted advisor. And that's why Stan brought them to look at his roof at the marketplace.
It was at an office building we had, four-story office building.
Was it okay? So that's excellent. So
I needed to know what the life expectancy of the roof was, and they were able to determine the condition and what they estimate the life expectancy of it.
And they said it's going to outlive you, so you didn't need any work on that.
Thank you for those, Chris.
So for a free preliminary survey of your commercial roof, call Roofing Dynamics at 215-491-9000 and ask for Audrey, or visit them online at www.roofingdynamics.com. Again, that's 215-491-9000 or www.roofingdynamics.com.
I just want to, Joe, you didn't change your mind after everything Stan said. It's still Babe Ruth, right, for you?
It's still Babe Ruth, but I will recommend to Stan a great book. Maybe you've already read it, but it's titled Yogi Berra, Eternal Yankee. And it's, you know, Yogi Berra from the time he was born all the way up through his death, his days with the Yankees and the Mets, and his feud with Steinbrenner. But well worth reading. You can pick it up on Amazon in used condition for under $5.
That sounds like a hit song, that title. Let's ask Bill who his favorite baseball player is, since he's such a fan of Joe's.
It's Steve Carlton.
Steve Carlton, yeah. Yeah, from a pitcher standpoint, yeah. But that's the great thing about baseball. We can sit around and we can talk about it. And we can argue about things that really don't mean anything to a certain degree. But, you know, one thing, and I'll just one more baseball thing. I saw your article about Pee Wee Reese, speaker, and fixing baseball games and World Series, which was done a number of times. I only remember 1919, the big White Sox scandal, with Shoeless Joe Jackson and those guys. But yet, in your article, you talk about these other things that went on, and then they were kind of shoved under the rug, kind of similar to what they do today with some of the things that are happening.
Yeah. You know, I've been a baseball fan all my life, of course, and I have a real axe to grind with Major League Baseball now and the way they have really shut out American players. You know, you have 35-40% of the major league squads are foreign born, mostly Dominican, but also from countries all over the world. And what I'm saying is, hey, this is the best job in the world. Playing baseball is the most financially rewarding job in the world. Starting salary is $750, and average players make $5, $7, $8 million. So why is Major League Baseball, really by default, giving these jobs to Dominicans and Cubans and Japanese and Chinese? It offends me. And continuing, I will say that anybody who's watched the College World Series knows that those players, if you took those players from Fresno State and Southern Cal and where University of Texas, and put them in a jersey that said Phillies on the front of it, and put them out onto the field, 99% of the fans would think that they were seeing the best baseball players in the world. So I'm not saying that the Dominicans are bad baseball players. Obviously, they're very good. But why?
Part of the America Last agenda.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, though. At least in athletics, at least at the professional level, we're still dealing with a meritocracy. So one would argue that the best baseball players make it to the big show and the others make it to the minor leagues. And the college players, I'm sure that the ones that try out for the big leagues and the minor league farm teams are getting their shot. So I would like to believe that in sports – it's still a meritocracy, which is probably the only place in the United States where it still is a meritocracy instead of ESG and DEI and LGBTQ+5 and x4. It's out of control. So while I understand what you're saying, I think the best of the best should rise at the top in any field.
Joe, okay, I have a caller calling in. He may have a question for you. Charlie,
okay, sure, great.
Charles, you there? You're on the air with Joe Gazzardi and the rest of the crew here at the Don't Back Down Show. You have a question?
Well, I'm going to have the question for the next segment.
The next segment. Okay, well, I'm going to put you on hold for the next segment.
And just so you know, Charles, I heard the radio in the background. There is a delay, I think, so you may want to turn that down when you come on the air. You're able to hear the whole show through your phone anyway.
Joe, the next question I want to have for you, and I'm going to play a little bit of this. It's a long one, but it's a Greg Gutfeld, a monologue, which he did on Monday. And it has to do with the release of the 40,000 hours of videotape on January 6th. Now, I preface this by saying Liz and me and Andy have been very involved with the J6ers. We know a number of them. We had Perna on, the aunt.
Yeah, Jerry Perna.
Jerry Perna on. We're familiar with the story of her nephew.
Driven to suicide by our government.
They actually had videotape of him walking into the Capitol, not creating any problem at all, and then they were gonna do a trespass, which he was fine with because he said, yeah, I did walk in. He didn't know he was in any violation of anything, but then they threw this other charge and it pushed him over the top. But I want to play like a couple minutes of the Greg Gutfeld, which is number 6. Yeah.
So let's talk about January 6th. I know. But was it really as our mainstream tens, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor rolled into one? Well, thanks to the new House Speaker Mike Johnson, video from inside the Capitol building was just released almost 3 years later, showing what many who attended the protests have been contending all along, that not only were the Capitol doors more open than Hunter's nose on a Saturday night... But in many cases, the Capitol Police either escorted the protesters in like ushers at a wedding or stood by without objecting. Now, let's be clear. No one's defending the chaos on the Capitol. So spare me the Gutfeld supports insurrection tweets from substitute teachers in Brooklyn, still traumatized by Trump bitch slapping Hillary into retirement. I may not support riots, but I do support the truth, and we have the right to hear the whole story, especially when many of the protesters were veterans and average citizens who just wanted their voices heard and who've been prosecuted like they were Hamas. Actually, worse than if they were Hamas, because no one's defending the Jan Sixers on campus. Just look at who was selected for the so-called select committee. You couldn't get a worse roster if you combined CNN's lineup with the cast of Saved by the Bell. Usually, to get that kind of kangaroo court, you'd have to hop on a flight on Qantas. That's an Australian airline. Yeah, there you go. What's now clear is that any video that didn't fit the committee's narrative was ditched like one of Joe Biden's grandkids.
Ooh. Oh, I love that one.
So who exactly was on this so-called bipartisan select committee? Well, on the Democrat side, well, it doesn't matter. The faces change, but the lockstep slash goose step remains the same. One of them is House Dem Jamie Raskin, who's already complaining about the released footage.
Beyond the partisan nature of it, it's truly a security risk what they're doing. The reason why the Capitol Police have opposed releasing tens of thousands of hours from every House office building, every Senate office building, every part of the Capitol is because it's like giving a diagram to future insurrectionists and terrorists and anybody who wants to invade our body.
I think he's full of I wonder if he knows you can take a tour and see most of the Capitol if you want to. And most committee hearings are open to the public. But the chances of the Dems giving conservative protesters and veterans a fair shake are roughly equivalent to Jesse Waters giving his hairstylist the day off. And any committee formed to uncover truth that includes Adam Schiff is like making Ted Bundy the head of Visiting Angels. That would be a bad choice. The committee claimed to be bipartisan because it included Republicans Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And I'll admit, it was good to have women represented from the Republican side, but did we need two?
The sexists would say.
All right, we'll take that down.
Kids are going to cry more
times. Let me, Joe, if you got to watch, of all his monologues that he's done in his rants, this was one of the top 10, I believe. And it goes on for about 7 minutes. And he has one zinger after another. I think the Raskin response, when you look at Raskin, oh, that seems very rational. And then he came back and he said, hey, wait a minute. They do tours in the Capitol. You can go throughout almost the whole Capitol and see everything there.
So we're going to have to keep you past the station ID, Joe and Bill, but before we say goodbye, because I want to give both of you a chance to tell us where that people can see more of your work. And Joe, that might take you a half hour because you're on so many different sites, including Substack. But we're going to break away in a couple of seconds to do the 2 o'clock station ID. So you are listening to the Don't Back Down show with Dan Casaccio, Andy Tuttleman, Liz Deal, Angelina Banks joining us in studio today. And we have Joe Gazzardi and Bill Lawrence on the line. Take it away, Mr. Producer.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
You were born to fight. You gotta light 'em up before they burn you down. Better dig deep.
And welcome back to the Don't Back Down show. We do have an exciting 2 o'clock hour, but before we turn to our 2 o'clock guests, I want to say goodbye to Bill Lawrence and Joe Gazzardi by giving both of them, starting with Joe, an opportunity to tell everyone where they can read more of their work. So, Joe, why don't you tell everyone where they can get you?
Okay, the best place would be to go to Institute for Sound Public Policy. It's a mouthful, but the email address is jgazzardi@ifspp.org. And, of course, you can read my material on Bill's site, and also on Substack.
Which Joel, I just signed up for today, by the way, Joe, and I look at your stuff every day, personally.
Thank you.
And Bill Lawrence online. Bill, you want to give out your call letters there?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm Bill, you know, you can find me at BillLawrenceOnline.com. It's a blog, and that's where I put my stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Bill Lahr, and I'm on Facebook at William Lawrence. So that's it. Joe's a regular columnist on my site. He does a great job. I mean, he's an expert on immigration. He puts details in there that you really don't expect from a site, you know, my size. But he's better sourced than most of the big sites, and he does a great job. And I'm glad to meet you, Joe, finally.
Thank you, Bill, very much for your years of support.
And, Joe, I will not hold it against you that you think Babe Ruth is the best player in baseball. So,
well, I hope not.
All right. And I appreciate you coming on. And if you have anything, just get a hold of Bill or feel free to call the show. If you have something that's really got your dander up, definitely call in.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful to be on the show. And thank you all very much for inviting me. And I would love to come back, so please ask again.
You are welcome anytime. We're going to bring you in for updates, and especially during 2024 as the political environment develops. I think this is going to be an exciting year, and as long as we still have a little bit of freedom of speech and we still have this show going, you will be hopefully a regular guest with us.
Let me say one more thing.
So the only good thing about being on the immigration beat is that there's never a shortage of material to write about.
Hell no.
But one other thing, I don't care who the Republican candidate ultimately is, whether it's Trump or somebody else. The left and the media will go after him. They will try to put him in jail. They will try to annihilate the person. So to think DeSantis is going to have an easy time, forget it. If you think Nikki Haley's going to have an easy time, to forget it. If you think Vivek is going to have an easy time, well, forget it. He's already having a hard time, but he's actually pretty interesting to listen to. I will tell you that.
Now, because he's not likely to be nominated, he has a free hand to say and do so many things. And I think Vivek is going to have a lot of influence in 2024, and I can't wait to see how he interacts with Trump as the primary season opens up. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I'm looking for a Donald Trump, Kerry Lake ticket is what I'm thinking might be. I'd even go for Tulsi Gabbard myself as one of his candidates because they're pretty strong.
All be great running mates for him.
Yes, they would. So we'll
lots get of good choices.
All right, we will see you next time. Thank you, Joe and
happy
Bill.
Happy Thanksgiving all around.
Yes, be safe. Thanks. Talk to you later.
Thank you, gentlemen. You so. Okay. What? Go ahead, Angelina.
So before we move on to the next part, I just had a little update. So it looks like Montgomery County is going to postpone certifying the election results. They were supposed to be certified today. However,
what, they have to still find some more votes.
Well, there's 300.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's 300. There's 350,000 votes in Pennsylvania that were more votes than are registered voters in Pennsylvania. Did you?
That's
know that?
An overvote.
That's an overvote, but yet.
Yeah, but so this is pretty much from a court ruling in the Western District of Pennsylvania. They said that not all of the ballots were counted, so they're going to allow ballots that were improperly or not dated at all to be counted. And Ken Lawrence was quoted saying, "In Montgomery County, we have consistently taken the position that the election code should be interpreted broadly in favor of voters' rights. All eligible voters should have their ballots counted," end quote. And I'd like to add whether or not they followed the rules and guidelines.
Or whether they're registered in Montgomery County.
Or even if they're supposed to be voting.
Or even if they're a citizen. Let's include them all.
Right. So that's where we are right now.
And then there's the vote flipping that may have occurred, because I don't have the evidence in front of me at this point, but hopefully we'll get to see it at some point, where there's this allegation that 350,000 votes were flipped from Carolyn Carluccio to her opponent. And the opponent won by 200,000 votes. So that means we would have had a Republican Supreme Court justice if not for that. So there are people who are fighting that fight as well. And I want to give a shout out to our friends in Bucks County, including Shannon Harris, who is running a and I'm working with her on this, running a petition to open ballot boxes. I think it's under Section 3261 of the Election Code, also known as Section 1701, because they like to keep it confusing. And this is an opportunity to get recounts if you get three voters from each precinct to sign a petition, notarized affidavit, the verification that goes with it, alleging that they have reason to believe there was fraud or error in the counting. And one could argue that every election since 2020 has had manifest fraud and or error. And therefore, kudos to Shannon and her friends who are helping with that cause.
Yeah, and I just want to add, I saw her last night, and she showed me that she's on a list of election deniers. Every single person who signed that, they're now putting out a list that
they're all on the
election.
That was the 2020 list, I thought.
No, it's the one you just did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm not on that one, because I'm on the last one. Yeah,
I know,
but
I'm on a couple lists.
This is how quick they are. This is the one you just did.
Well, if there's any election denial, it's by the people running the elections who are denying us an opportunity to have free and fair elections.
They lie right in your face, and they lie so good that you actually think, well, maybe I didn't vote that time. You know, it's crazy stuff.
Stan, I want the audience to know this. We're giving Liz the duty of introducing our next guests, and she was thrown in her lap suddenly, so we're buying a little bit more time.
No, I'm fine, but
Liz. Liz usually prepares for about 92 hours before the show.
And so they love to give me things that I can't prepare
and
for.
And we like to throw a curve at her once in a while.
It keeps you young. It keeps those synapses firing, Liz. They're helping you out.
No, but before you go, I was going to give you another like 30 seconds by doing another commercial. Do you want to go now, though? I can save it.
It doesn't matter. I'm ready.
Take it away. All right, everyone, applause for Liz Deal.
Oh, God. Well, I am really honored to be sitting next to these two amazing Fighting for Architecture. This is hard to articulate for me, but we have Douglas Seiler joining us, and also Peggy Beckler DeLaSante.
Becker.
They're here in the studio. And there's a prison project, which I'm going to let them talk about. And it's a prison that was built in 1851, and it's historical. And they're fighting to restore it, to keep it, to not let them tear it down. They're trying to tear it down. And they are putting in the work to have it preserved. But I know that, Doug, that you're basically in charge of this, and Peggy's doing it with you. Why don't you tell us about the project?
Sure. So I appreciate your having us on. We're happy to be here. Peggy and I are been campaigning for years for this prison. And
which prison is it?
So this is the former Montgomery County Prison in Norristown, downtown Norristown, built 1851. designed by the same architect that did the Academy of Music, St. Peter's and Paul Cathedral.
It's really a very unique building.
Well, it looks like a castle.
Yes, it's a very unique building.
So I honestly think that if you blindfolded 100 people from anywhere in the world, put them in front of the building, took off the blindfold and said, we're going to tear that building down, they would say, what? What are you talking about?
Well, there may be a few former inmates that won't agree with your position on that, but yes, I agree. It's an architectural masterpiece.
They put all the illegals there. No, they want to put them in the high-end hotels.
But there's two parts to that. One is there's the front part that's the castle, and then the back of it is a prison. And people need to differentiate. This thing grew over time, and the castle at the front, it's neo-Gothic, castellated style, looks like a castle. That's what we're fighting for. And a building is, you know, kind of like an armature that things happen in, and it's not responsible for what happened behind it. But just on the point that's out there about this is, you know, terrible things happen there. This was really, at the time it was built, it was kind of a detention center almost. One person and lives in Norristown told me the story. His father was incarcerated there. When he was cutting the grass, they would let him know, and his son would come and hang out with him while he cut the grass on the front lawn. It was much more casual than Sing Sing or, you know, some crazy penitentiary somewhere. So we don't believe it has that history. It's never been documented, and we'd like it to be documented.
Well, if you think of some of the great buildings, Doug and Peggy, that throughout the world, you take, for example, the tower in London. I mean, the diabolical things happened there over the centuries, and yet one of the things about the building is you recognize you don't want that to happen again. So I know Peggy and I were sitting next to each other, and I know you were in the room there too at the commissioner's meeting, Doug, and a lady called up, and very emotional, and I believe she believed this true, that she felt it should be torn down because that terrible things happened there, especially to people of her race. And I think one of the reasons I leaned over to Peggy and I said, you know, one of the things we should keep it up there to remind people never again will this happen. I mean, they have the death camps still in Europe.
Yeah, I've been to Dachau.
Yeah, I know.
And I was feeling the same thing. When I walked through Dachau, I mean, I needed to see that, and everybody needs to see our history.
And
it's
so
the
we
same
can
thing.
We can show in a small museum some of the things, the negative things, and say, look, we are not going to let, as human beings, we are growing, we are maturing, we are understanding things that happened, and we will never again let that happen. Go ahead, Angela.
I think the interesting thing here, just in this part of the discussion, is that it's about preserving architecture. It's about preserving a statement of art, something of beauty. And so it's being conflated into, oh, this is an image, this is a monument to systems of inadequacy, which is where we lose the branding conversation, because they have changed the focus of the issue. The issue is about preserving a historical monument, not about any of the emotional journeys that people have when they see it.
Peggy, you want to say something? Go ahead.
I would love to say something here. I grew up in Fairmount, right across the street from the Eastern State.
Oh, yes.
Another classic historic prison.
That's where Andy grew up, too, but across the street.
No, well, I was inside.
Andy was inside.
I was never inside. But to me, it was a castle. You know, we grew up poor kids in Fairmount. We used to swim in the fountains on the parkway. And we were poor, but we were intoxicated with culture and beautiful architecture.
And beer.
And family.
I didn't drink. But yes, beer, Ortlieb's and all that good stuff.
Ortlieb's, oh my God.
And the cigar factories, you know.
Billy's Tipperillos.
But as a young girl, I dropped out of school to go and make a living. And I got on a train and I wound up in Norristown. And lo and behold, I helped to build an incredible clothing boutique. I used to dress all the bands. I was there for 41 years. It was called Main Changes Clothing, icon in the area. The community there embraced me and lifted me up and applauded my successes.
That's the way things used to be in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was the city of brotherly love, sometimes tough love, but
yes,
you felt like you were part of something, and that's gone now. I won't even go into the city.
Well, government advocated businesses. They wanted the mom-and-pop businesses and things like that. and
city of neighborhoods.
They embrace those things because they need that's what makes communities vibrant is the whole shebang, the stores, the mom and pop, and the community.
Yeah.
So you're there, you see this building.
When I first got into Norristown, the architecture there just wooed me. When I saw the prison there back in the early 70s, I just fell in love with it. And
I can get you in.
I would love to go inside and see that place. And, you know, it's part of the skyline there, the skyline. It's part of murals that have been put up. It's part of a Monopoly board that was designed for Norristown.
It's part of the family of Norristown, what's there. And Peggy, one of the things that I think it really sticks in my craw is I've gone to other township or county seats, Doylestown, Media. They're all vibrant communities. I walk around Norristown and I literally get sick. Here's one of the most wealthiest counties in Pennsylvania, and we have a central area that is despicable. Vacant stores, no embracing of any kind of businesses at all. It is absolutely unbelievable. So nothing is being done for that business area at all.
Driving people away from it.
Yeah, they have plenty of time to tear down this beautiful structure. But for people listening, can you tell them why they want to tear it down and what bad things?
The missing link there in Norristown is an anchor. Just like a mall or a shopping center, you need an anchor store to draw people. And they have a lot of investment coming into Norristown. I have to hand it to Borough Council and to, you know, the planning manager of the town. They have a lot of investors coming in, and they're going to throw up these huge high-rise apartment buildings on Main Street. But there's no entertainment there. And they need a destination. There's a transportation hub that's within walking distance.
Absolutely.
Of the prison, and it's castle-like building.
And the river, too, is right there.
They don't want you talking to each other. That's not okay.
And for those of you, you know, we're on radio, but just envision this castle. And that's what it looks like. It's a castle-like building. To turn that into a music hall, there's a parking lot right next door. We need a Mr. Spivak to come in. We need someone with vision to develop that beautiful icon of a property there. They need a draw.
So let's tell everyone who they're listening to. This is the Don't Back Down show with Stan Casaccio, Andy Teitelman, Liz Deal, Angelina Banks, and we're joined in studio today by Douglas Seiler, who is certified by the American Institute of Architects, also LEED certified, and he's a principal at the architectural firm of Seiler Drury. And we have Peggy Becker, is it DeLaSantis? DeLaSanti, and you have your business card says you are
blues
involved
singer
with the True Blue Band.
Oh, we're coming. I love the blues.
I'm the lead singer.
So, you are?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have to find out where you're playing. We'll give you a chance to give a shout-out to that.
Okay.
And for those of you in need of architectural services, whenever someone serves the community, we like to give shout-outs. So if you need an architect or have questions, and I assume you do the full gamut, but I'll let you tell us in a second, go to sdarc.com. And if you go to D. Seiler, DSEILER, at sdarc.com, you can write directly to Douglas Seiler and find out about what he's doing in his civic work to save the facade of the prison, and/or Peggy Becker DeLaSanti. Yes.
But I know there's a whole committee. We have a Charles on who had a question for you guys. Charlie, you're up, and you said you had a question for this segment. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Charles. You're up if you have a question for Doug and Peggy.
I go by my middle name. It's Bob. It's Charles Robert.
Okay,
I'm
Bob.
I'm here in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. In Bridgeport, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm an Area 5 Republican committeeman. That's King of Prussian, Bridgeport, and West Conshohocken. And I was just wondering, because I did attend one commissioner's meeting, which is basically majority is Democrat. I was just wondering, am I correct that The Montgomery County commissioners have sort of express lane this demolition on this without going through proper public channels, spreading this out, like not spreading this out about this demolition and sort of express laning it to get it out of the way quick.
Now, how much have they involved the community in this decision making?
I'd like to comment on that. So Peggy said, you know, only say nice things when you come in here, which I'll try to do. But
we don't do that here.
It's a don't back down show.
We don't back down.
I like the title. My grandfather from Southwest Philly would appreciate me being on this show. So I just want to say, I think the public process is really at the heart of why this is so wrong. It's interesting that they postponed the election results. This HARB is a postponement that was, you might all remember, was announced out of the blue. We're postponing this demolition. And the two-faced side of it is they aren't postponing anything. They're giving it a delay for a few months. What they needed to do is they had a wall-to-wall demolition of this site from curb to curb, which would be a disaster. It leaves a mound of dirt. You can't develop it. And they're not backing away from that. The HARB from three public meetings that we never have people attend our HARBs. We had 20 people speaking up to the closing time for the building, passionate involvement. And you know, no elected officials were there. No one's paying attention. It wasn't for the press. No one would know this.
The Democratic Party doesn't care. It's not a pro-choice party. It's a party of my choice. You go along with me. Forget you, the public. I don't want to hear anything. That's what the Democratic Party is today.
Certainly seems that way.
Yeah. So that's what I've been experiencing. We're trying to be reasonable about this. Preservation is not a it's not a party specific concept.
Shouldn't be.
It's really. In fact, I brought the ordinance here to read. I mean, if you don't mind, I'll read the five reasons why the Norristown HARB was written. It's typical of historic ordinances throughout the country. But it's to enhance environmental quality, stimulate tourism, improve property values, foster economic development, and foster civic pride in Norristown's past accomplishments. There's very few buildings in this town that can do that better than this. There are none that can do it better than this building.
Now you're hitting us in the pocket. So, that's our real estate.
It's really... Preservation is an economic tool. It improves property values. Interestingly, Norristown native Dick Tyler, who was one of the founders of the Philadelphia Historic Commission, Norristown native, I brought him out to help create the HARB in 2001, was speaking at an event, and someone asked, why do we want a HARB in Norristown? He says, you don't want a HARB. You want a HARB so your neighbor has to abide by it, because when you invest money in your property, you want your neighborhood to also have be consistent with your values. And what a HARB does, what preservation does, is it raises the economic boat for a whole downtown. And Peggy's point that this town needs a destination. We tried to create Norristown Arts Hill in 2010, you know, and the county, to their credit, at the trail is creating the Trail Junction Center, which would be an anchor at the south end. And it's so obvious the anchor for the north end could be this prison with the two theaters, restaurants. You don't go to Broadway for one theater. You go to Broadway for an experience. And what I've learned from doing master plans over the years is that different demographics, different age groups have different interests. And young people want cool things to do.
Doug, give me a perfect joke.
Well, hold on a minute. Let me ask Doug, have you done any preliminary drawings of anything, what it could possibly look like?
Yes. So interestingly,
and you have to indicate where you can go. We can go and see that.
Sure.
So hold it up to the microphone.
Are you allowed to buy it?
Yeah, hold it up to the microphone.
So my office.
Is somebody allowed to buy it?
I think that the county really, I think, has a bit of an open mind. They really are approaching this. They have a problem. They created a problem through neglect, and they want to get out of their problem. And this is the cheapest plan they could possibly do. And they thought that it could just happen. And frankly, Peggy and I have been fighting for this prison since 2014, when we stopped the last plan. But I've been drawing plans since 2001. My office is across the street. I came to town, said, that's an interesting building. Took me about a year to find out who has a key. I've been in it many times. And for a while, the county, this was Marino's administration, was interested in trying to do something. We spoke to the Civil War Library and Museum in Philadelphia, a couple other groups. Wouldn't that have been an awesome Civil War museum? Yes, can you imagine that?
And so, we have a lot of Civil War major players have come from the Montgomery County area.
Exactly. So Hancock Square, that's John Hancock.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. How is this legal, and is somebody allowed to buy it?
Oh, I think if someone made an offer to the county.
Let's do it, Stan.
Well, this is Peggy's point. Peggy, why don't you say, we really, I think what's needed is somebody with a vision who recognizes this, comes out, breaks all the rigmarole. You know, the only word that Joe Biden uses that I like is malarkey. Yeah. Someone can come out, break the malarkey, and have a vision. You know, you need someone who can plan things. You need a good structure.
You need a Donald Trump.
You need someone
actually
like
what he did with the skating rink in New York,
Spivak, or somebody who says this could be a killer music venue. The young people would come there in a heartbeat. It would enliven Arts Hill.
He'd probably buy that.
But you know, it shouldn't be, you know, a housing project. It should be something
or a parking lot for the Taj Mahal they're building across
the
street.
No.
New Republican building.
Got to share.
They have the Keswick and Glenside.
Keswick Theater, yeah.
Okay, well, they had the tower in Upper Darby. I don't know if that's still there or not. This would be the perfect venue. It would draw people in from all over the place.
And I'll tell you what, Norristown is the county seat of the wealthiest county in Pennsylvania.
Yes, it is.
And I live closer to Doylestown. I'm in Bucks County. And when I go to Doylestown, I'm happy. It's a beautiful walking town. They've got restaurants. They've got historic buildings. You feel safe. Norristown is, it's hard to explain it to people if they haven't been there. It has potential, but they have totally decimated it.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of crack being sold
I
there.
Have Tom DiBella on the line. We were going to talk about the budget, but I want to bring Tom in because I know
he's been
a big supporter of this. Tom, welcome to the Don't Back Down show. Congratulations.
Yes,
on
congratulations.
Your on winning. I'm expecting great things from you, that you will be a voice of reason on that board, as you have been in your business and in when you were president of the school board in your area. You brought a lot of sanity to things that you do, so I acknowledge you for your successes. But go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I just kind of came in at the tail end of the conversation, and you guys are 100% right. There's so many opportunities, and I'm just hoping that we're able to hold this whole thing off until after January 2nd, and then we can get in there, and you know, I'll be on the border, you know, at that point, because there's so many opportunities, and look, the cat's been out of the bag. They want to build Norristown Borough, from what's been talked about, is they want to build a firehouse on the property. I don't even understand what their thinking is, because midday, if God forbid, if there is a fire somewhere, they're not getting those fire trucks out of there.
Especially not with this courthouse with Taj Mahal that they're building there,
right,
and all the people working there.
Right.
It's crazy now.
It's crazy, and it's going to be crazy for at least two more years of construction. It doesn't make any sense, and I think it was at the last hard meeting when it came out, which was news to me, and I think news to a lot of people. Well, the developer, they were actually looking at incorporating the parking lot that we all know is a juror parking lot on top of this project down the road. So there's under the table, behind the scenes, under the covers, whatever you want to call it, plans or goals or whatever it may be, that's been in the drawing. But the whole process, I went to the hard meetings, I got up and I supported them, because, you know, when you follow the ordinance that was put in place, and there was, I think it was 9 conditions that needed to be met for the hard to actually approve something, and like 3 out of the 9 or 4 out of the 9, the application didn't even address. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to stop this. I guarantee that there's going to be interested developers out there that are known for preservation, that would be very instrumental in working with the county and taking that prison, preserving it. There's different there's different solutions. There's different things that's been discussed out there. But you know, it's a shame, and the comeback from Ken Lawrence and all that. Well, bad things happen in the prison against, you know, a particular group of people. Well, that may be true. It may not be true. I'm not going to go down that road. But that doesn't mean that we don't preserve history. If we knock everything down, that bad things might have happened, what would we have left? I mean,
nothing.
Go to nothing, and go to go to where the concentration camps were that they preserved, because for the biggest reasons is that they wanted the global, everyone in the world to know that this existed, and the travesties that happened during World War II.
Tom DiBella and Doug and or Peggy, you brought up the name Ken Lawrence, so I'm going to ask this question. I don't know if this is factual or not, but I was alerted to the potential for some kind of sweetheart deal involving the bricks and stonework being sold off and somehow Ken Lawrence being involved in that. Is there any truth to that story? Do any of you know about that?
Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, I have to say no, that I don't know anything about that. But the value of the buildings, just like buildings tell stories. And so those stones actually have a story that goes back to 1851, which was when LeBrun specified them. They're not from Montgomery County, and it was a scandal. He specified specific sandstone that's very strong from outside the county. It's still standing, perfect shape. But as far as salvaging buildings, I haven't heard anything myself. But a building like that, there are companies that dismantle stone by stone, put them in pallets, ship them to anywhere. You know, usually ones
they
like
did
that.
They did
seen,
that to the Colosseum in Rome, didn't
they're,
they?
They're like a maybe, but they're like $1 million
build
kind
a bunch of
churches. Purchase.
You know,
if somebody took stones in a pallet and you shipped it to Texas or somewhere, this is a pretty cool building. It would probably bring $1 million, be my guess.
So Peggy wants to say something on that?
I would really like to point out that for a prospective buyer that is a visionary, okay, it's very important with the preservation of this historic gem. There's a lot of public grants out there. There's tax credits. The state of Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania State Historic Preservation Office sent a letter that states all of the money that would be available to do all the studies and everything. So my point is that when they say it's going to cost the taxpayers money, the only time it's going to cost the taxpayers money is if they decide to take it down. Because have $4.1 million in the budget to tear it down.
I have a question for you about potential litigation blocking this, but I want to hold that for a second because we need to take our 2:30 commercial break. So, Mr. Producer, tee up the commercial.
Mortgage rates have not affected home buying activity. It's a great time to sell your home. Even with higher mortgage rates, buyer traffic is actually picking up speed. Diane Cardano here from the Cardano team reporting home showing traffic is up and has been over the last 12 months. All this is happening as mortgage rates increase. Buyers are coming out of the woodwork looking for a home. In Philly, the burbs, or even in New Jersey, home sale prices are soaring right now. I just sold a home for $70,000 over the listed price. This is due to low inventory, rates leveling out, and buyers are disgusted with the rise in rents all over town. They want the dream of home ownership, a place to call their own. Call me, Diane Cardano, to get a sold sign on your lawn in one day. And don't worry, I will hire a professional photographer to take beautiful, eye-catching photos of your home. And I will not use my cell phone. And I'll put thousands of dollars in your pocket overnight. Let's connect. Call 215-576-8666 or go to DianeCardano.com.
Children love Frosty, cause his antics made them smile. He would laugh and play with the kids all day, but he wasn't a pedophile. Now Frosty would get nervous when Thanksgiving came around, so the kids gave lots of loving hugs just to calm their turkey down. Then they picked up a hammer and they smashed him in his face. And they waved goodbye as they watched him die. Wondered how he was gonna taste. Thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, whack! Watch his head cave in.
That musical interlude was brought to you by
TJ. And it's very Thanksgiving-ish, so.
Yeah, well, and very holiday-ish, but proceeding along, so.
Well, I wanted to get that litigation question in. Is there anyone fighting for you guys in court or fighting to save this building in court right now? Where does that stand?
So I wear two hats. I'm the vice president of the HAR board, the Norristown Historic Review Board, and I'm tangentially involved with the Friends of group that was created when this thing showed up in a news headline in the Times Herald, kind of as an aside, like, blah, 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 and the prison's going to be torn down. And president of the Norristown Preservation Society, who's a long-term organization in Norristown, wrote a letter to the Times Herald and kind of got us motivated. I've been hearing rumors for years are going to be torn down. But so this Friends group has been raising money. They had a GoFundMe petition. They've got, you know, a little bit of a war chest. They've spoken to attorneys. I think there is places for litigation to take place from how this HARB was handled. There's some conflicts of interest. There's the question of was it complete or not. There's questions about, those are really kind of the main.
I wanted to bring this up, though, having done a lot of development myself. And, Tom, I want you to be involved in this conversation because it would seem to me at this juncture it's really not costing the town, the county anything right now. It's not an operation. They're not doing anything to it. They're not putting any money into it at this point. All right. So it would be great if they could say, hold on a minute. Let's take a back off here. We've got a number of people. Let's give these people 18 months to come up with a plan and get investors, because it looks like you've got some ideas, but the effort to really go out and put together a consortium that'll do something. You've got some preliminary plans you've looked at to create that vision and sell it and give people a chance. It's not costing the county anything. It's costing us free time.
Time to make money.
And at the end of the day, the county and the city of Norristown will be better off. Tom, can you advocate for that?
Absolutely. That's day one.
I think that should be.
January 2nd, we got to make it till.
So in the county's defense, that's they've put this pause, they call it a postponement, for 6 month request for interest proposal they're going to issue. Hopefully they'll allow time to help write the language.
But here's the thing. We cannot allow the government to take charge of this because they will do nothing. So what has to happen is people have to come to the fore. You've spent all these years invested in this thing. Now's the time to say, hey, let's put some people together. You need more than 6 months to do this, obviously, because there's a whole process. And let's start advocating for that. Put a group specifically together of concerned citizens who are willing to spend the time to preserve this, and let's go out and see if we can have some kind of design.
What's needed is an ad hoc committee of people that know Norristown, know the region,
And investors and some bankers type, and some other people.
Diverse group of people to sort of lead the vision. The county, if you read their RFI carefully, it says they've listened to the people, they want to be transparent, but they didn't say,
no,
we want to have a continued dialogue with
those. No, you're missing the government that we have today. So, it's not about what the people want, it's what they want to do, and the hell with everything else. So now's the time we have to step in and say, the hell with you. This is what we want the people. Give us an opportunity. If we can't prove ourselves, okay, we'll go back to square one.
So the Friends of group wants to have that voice, and they keep asking for it. And I sort of roll my eyes with like, well, who's going to let them in? And the question is maybe Tom, maybe they will if the Friends group keeps making enough noise that they have to listen to it.
I think that's going to be number one on your agenda, Tom, in January. Was it January 2nd you get sworn in? When's that date?
Yeah, January 2nd, I get sworn in.
No, Tom, I have to correct you. It's sworn at when you're the Republican minority, but that's okay. There'll be a swearing on the 2nd of January. Angelina, what did you want to ask?
So, you know, interestingly enough, this hasn't come up, but I think being in this area, being in Philadelphia, Philadelphia adjacent, we don't realize how lucky we are to be steeped in such amazing architectural beauty. And so with this group, I'm surprised that nobody's brought up the cultural Marxism that's going to be taking place, where they're just, you know, getting rid of these beautiful monuments of our history that are testimony of, you know, the American journey, the American
dream. That's
why
we have you here, Angelina.
So, you know,
you are our cultural Marxist.
Yes. So, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, as the face of downtown Norristown is changing, you know, we're getting rid of beautiful monuments like this to replace it with these industrial, communistic, ugly buildings. I mean, I work in construction and development, and, you know, I'm seeing it, and that's the new design trend, these steel boxes, and it just reminds me of prison. So, which reminds me of
funny because the prison reminds you of a castle.
Right, that's exactly. Ironic. So, you know, we're in the upside down here. But, you know, is that a concern of your efforts, too, that this is you're just really erasing the legacy of, you know, just beauty and architecture in America?
To me, a building like that that has such history, it's iconic. These old historic buildings have character and they have soul. The new ones that are going up are cold. They're just glass and steel. That's it.
No personality.
No personality. No, you cannot have a regendrified town filled with glass
How
and
about
steel.
They want to build transgendrified properties. That's what they want to do.
Male buildings and dresses. There we go. That's a whole new thing.
Go ahead.
With the revenue that they could bring in because of all the other businesses that would latch on to the anchor, you know, there's homeless there. There's boarded up homes. The revenue in the taxes that they would collect could go into fixing these homes up to solve their homeless problem.
Yeah. Well, I'd just like to say I always correct people when they call government collecting revenue. Government revenue implies that they're actually generating a product and selling a good and service that people want. Government, basically, the only thing they generate is more regulations and more paper. So it's really just a tax.
Well, Reagan's phrase. Yeah. The scariest phrase in the world is, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yes.
Hey, I want to announce their website. So their website and their blog can be found on their Facebook page, which is Help Save Historic Norristown Prison. Help Save Historic Norristown Prison. And you can email them at friendsofthearystreetprison@gmail.com. Friends of the Airy, A-I-R-Y, streetprison@gmail.com.
Liz, while you're at it, do you want to take a moment and tell people who's coming up on the Don't Back Down show in the
But I do want to
weeks?
Get back to Tom as soon as Liz is
Tom
done.
Tom who?
Tom DiBella.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Gee, I've forgotten already.
No respect.
No. You won't be forgotten until after January 2nd when your colleagues ignore you.
Yeah. But I do want to get back to Tom because he's going to talk about the budget a little bit and the 13% increase that they're perpetrating just at the county level on us in county. But go ahead, Liz, real quick, and then we want to get Tom on that.
You know what? They did it to me again. I have to pull
it
up.
Well, let
so
me
go
talk.
Right. I'm going to get you later. I'm going to get you.
Go right to Tom. So, Tom, you know, between all the prison and everything else, we were involved with being there when they put the budget out. And when you coupled this increase, which, by the way, I believe, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, this is about the fifth year in a row we've had increases in the real estate taxes for the county.
Yeah, it's including the last 3 or 4 years and this one, they're going to be up over 30%. Increase over the last couple of years if you add them all together.
Well, I know in 2021 there was a 3% increase, 2023-22 there was a 2% increase, and now this one, the 2023-24, or shall we say 24 is going to be about a 13% increase. So
no, you're being kind. The last 3 years it's been, last year was 8%.
8%.
The year before that was 7%. Yeah, the year before that was 7% or a little over 7%. And the year before that, I know, was 7%+. And then this year, it's a jump to 13%. when we're at the meeting, as you mentioned, it was funny. They never actually talked about a percent increase. They just talked about a change in millage. And just, you know, going back to the prison real quick, but it's all connected. When they sit there and say, you know, they don't want to use taxpayer money to do anything with the prison, that is coming out of the same group of people that are doing a 13% tax increase and spending over $500 million of taxpayer money on the new Justice Center. But they don't want to preserve the prison across the street because they don't want to burden the taxpayer.
Yeah,
I mean, you understand, like, when you hear conversations like that, you're like, you just sit there and you're like in amazement.
Yeah.
So there's nothing was proposed about any type of cost savings. I'm sure there were definitely departments or areas that needed or warranted, you know, increase in taxes. Or at least increase in expenses, but there was no conversation. And what blows my mind is that, and I've sat on a school board for 12 years, and every tax, what we call tax budget season, or budget season, not tax season, budget season, we would have finance committee meetings where we would have in-depth conversations regarding the budget. We would have at the actual board meetings, the work session, in-depth conversations about the budget. So, I mean, we would drill into it. I mean, the presentation that was put forward at the commissioner meeting on Thursday was a very high level, check the box type presentation. And I just can't understand how the commissioners could sit there and not ask any questions.
Was amazing. Not one question was asked on any line item that was there, which I thought was pretty incredible myself, because I had a bunch of questions I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask the community college representative, the president of community college, and it's great to have these buildings. I'm nothing against community college, but how many trees inside the building do they have to have, and how much did that cost? They have these beautiful buildings with this huge open spaces and marble and whatever they're putting there. How many senior citizens are they chasing out of their home with increasing taxes at every level? Because don't forget, you got county, you got your township, and you got your school tax. And those items are astronomical to the person on fixed income. So they do nothing to protect. They said, oh, we want to be in touch with our human residents here. We want to help our community and everything else. And yet they're taxing senior citizens out of their home, people on fixed income. The people who are poor, just making ends meet, who can't pay for the inflation that the government has perpetrated on them. They can't pay for their gas. They can't get to their job. Their jobs are being taken by a tremendous number of illegal aliens that
Preach
have come
it,
here.
Stan.
And it's just unbelievable to me, the hypocrisy that goes on in these governmental bodies. And they smile when they do it.
So before you turn to Diane, I just want to let everyone know, and this was brought to my attention by William Michael, the U.S.-Canada border crossings are closed after a vehicle explosion at a checkpoint.
Yeah.
And apparently it was the FBI field office in Buffalo says it's investigating an explosion on the Rainbow Bridge, which spans the Niagara River. Hmm. But if you think the southern border has been a problem, it looks like we're getting it from both sides now.
And that could have been a Hamas type of situation.
I wish we would have known about this while we had our first hour guest on, because Joe Gazzardi would have been able to say, yep, see, we knew the terrorism was coming to our country, and this may be the first taste.
Hamas and the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
Sounds like a headline.
Well, there's two dead, and they're calling it an attempted terror attack on the New York-Canada border. So I was actually watching it as we've been talking.
Just as we come into Thanksgiving, which is the universal American holiday. It doesn't have a religion, but it does have a philosophy that we all used to enjoy. So I'm not going to let it upset my holiday, because for the last 5+ years, I've been watching this country devolve into what it's become, where we can't even go into a city like Philadelphia. And talking about trying to save a piece of history in Norristown, it really makes me frustrated, because it seems that governments at all levels, with very few exceptions, although there are some, are looking to destroy our way of life when it's their job to protect and defend the American way. Liz is now ready officially to give us our upcoming guests.
Well, he's right with the times. His name, next week, our main guest is Andrew Bostom, Muslim Decency Tainted by Muslim Dishonesty. He's the author of The Legacy of Islamic Antisemitism. He's just going to say a lot of things that nobody else is saying, and it's going to be really good. Because we need to hear the truth. And the week after that is December 6th. We have Kathy Barnett. We're all friends with her.
That'll be fun. I love Kathy.
We hope to have maybe Colonel Alan West on at some point, either the 6th or maybe the week after that.
You said he was busy, so I put Kathy in there. But, we're hoping to have Colonel West.
At some point.
On the 20th or 27th. But on the 13th, we have Heather Honey.
That's one of my favorites.
Election Integrity Task Group. I was there last night. My good friend Beth, who will be on the show the same day as Heather Honey, she's running the Bucks County Election Integrity Task Force. So I joined forces with her. A lot of the Right for Bucks people were there, and they're just doing a very great thing. I forgot to mention, please let me go back, our second hour guest next week is Andy Meehan, who's the president.
Andy Meehan, yes.
Yes, the president of Right for Bucks, and he will be our guest in the studio the whole time, and Stan will not be here, so...
I'll be calling in from the road, but...
No, we're not taking your call.
I figured that, but listen, before we go anywhere, I know we have one of our sponsors on, Diane Cardano. Do you want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving and just update everything real quick?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that's why I'm moving to North Carolina in the middle of the boondocks. So I can stay away from all these terrorists. It's just listening to you guys makes me depressed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but
I'm only kidding.
But we're trying to give people hope, because if we get involved, Doug has got involved, and Peggy's got involved, and everybody...
Doing a great job.
Yeah, you want to get the press put on the news.
No, we got to call it the Don't Give Up Show.
Don't Give Up Show.
And I'm like, this, that. I'm like, you know what? Please turn that off. I don't want to hear that. But anyway, you're right. Just listen to the news. You can get depressed real easy. But beside all that, it's what to tell you about a client of mine that finally got a house after 17 tries. 17 tries. And what's happening is right now there's buyers out there who have 17 tries who have not bought a house and gotten pushed down, who are now like overbidding too much, and there's less offers coming in. So just want to let any buyer going in, if you've put in lots of offers, I wouldn't get too skittish, don't overdo it, because you don't need to. I mean, I took our offer point blank, which I know they had nothing else. And this house is amazing. So just have to watch if your buyers, just make sure you give me a call before you put an offer on the house.
Yeah, because, and don't be bidding up against Soros. Overpay. That's not a good bid. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's probably who's buying up all the house. But
exactly.
Hey, the pie drive was great. The pie drive was great yesterday. All these people came. A lot of future home sellers came to my pie open house. And that was great seeing y'all. And we kind of gave out 300 pies. So happy Thanksgiving to those people and all of you guys. And we'll
very
talk
nice.
To you. I'll
happy
be away next week, too.
Yep.
Have a I'll great be away time. Next week as well.
And don't forget to say how to get in touch with you, Diane at eXp Realty.
Yes, Diane Cardano. Just call DianeNow.com. Let's call Diane Now. And just put my name, Diane Cardano, in the Google search. You'll get hundreds and hundreds of impressions.
Thank you, okay. Diane. Appreciate it. And,
all right. Have a good night.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
to
everybody.
Guys. All right. Bye.
So, Tom, you're getting sworn in on the 2nd. Do you have enough room for everybody that's going to show up to cheer you on?
Well, that's a great question, because I'm still trying to find out where we're going to do it.
Let's do it at the prison in Norristown.
I think
lots of room. It's empty.
I know they had it at the Keswick Theater one year.
That's where the prison is.
No, the Keswick Theater.
Well, you better hurry up, because they have a reserve seat for a Republican. So the first Republican to get there actually gets to sit.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, I know there was talk possibly Montgomery County Community College and Bluebell, but I haven't heard anywhere.
At their new beautiful theater that they spent a fortune
on. I think it's still closed January 2nd, so
Tom,
because
of
the holidays.
Let me ask you, what are you going to do on January 3rd? Are you going to be doing something with this prison?
Disney World.
January 3rd. What are you doing on January 3rd? Your first big day.
That's my first big day. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, there's a lot that's going to have to happen quickly. So,
well, we're all voting for the prison ministry here. That's what I'm calling.
Well, that, don't worry. I mean, that is definitely, and I think my first actual meeting, I don't know if it's that week or the following week, but I'll have a list of agenda items that I want to be able to jump on quickly. But the prison is definitely on the top of my list of things that need to be done. There's the prison, the budget, although the budget will be adopted, I'm not sure we'll be able to make change.
Well, Tom, now that you're official, well, almost officially a commissioner, you're a commissioner-elect, hopefully you will not forget about your friends at the Don't Back Down show, and you'll come on regularly to give us updates.
Yeah, we'd want updates at least once a month.
What
shows
that?
Yeah, there he's doing it to me now. He's doing it to me. I did it to him. He's doing it to me.
Good one.
Now we're in the last couple of minutes, so I want Doug and Peggy to tell everybody again who they are, who they represent, and how people can get in touch with your organization and you to help out with saving the Montgomery County Prison.
I do want to tell people to make sure they're available on November 30th.
Okay, so you can find us on Facebook. If you go on Facebook and you look up Help Save Historic Norristown Prison, you can find our blog and website and everything on there. And we also have an email, Friends of the Airy Street, that's A-I-R-Y Street Prison, @gmail.com.
All right, and we want to thank Doug and Peggy because I believe for both of you, this is a labor of love, pro bono, as we say in my business, when you do something that's not related to money. And I've dealt with a lot of architects. I know you guys make lawyers look cheap. So your time is very valuable, Doug, and we really appreciate everything.
Yeah, but look at the skill level you're getting. Now, that's the other thing. Hold on a minute.
He's the guy that held his plan up to the microphone thinking everyone could see it. So I'm not sure.
One of the things I wanted to point out is that anybody listening, on November 30th at the Montgomery County Commissioners meeting, which is the 8th floor of 1 Montgomery Plaza. Is it 1 Montgomery Plaza? Yes. In Norristown, right across from the Taj Mahal building. You go up the 8th floor. They're having hearings starting at 10 o'clock for the public to come in. They have 5 minutes, not 2 minutes, to talk about the budget. So go online, take a look at the budget at monco.org and moncopa.org, and you can look at the budget. And they're also doing it at 6 p.m. on Thursday night, November the 30th in the evening at 6 o'clock. So you can come and get your voice heard. We can no longer sit quietly. We have to be active in this thing, from the prison to everything. We have to offer alternatives that work and things like that, and we'll be heard.
And I want to remind everyone to check out Maria Montero, who is running running for 7th Congress of the United States in the 7th District of Pennsylvania. She's a Republican. She's a conservative. She is incredible. She was on the show last week, and you can check her out at mariamontero.org. And it'll be worth your time. And I understand she's having a fundraiser on December 13th. So save the date. I don't have the location of the fundraiser. She did say it, but I didn't make a note. But I'm going to give her a call.
And we're going to be there, and we'll sign autographs. And
absolutely.
Do whatever you want, and you can yell at us if you want.
Where's your card? I wonder, maybe you can plug your band.
Tell us where your band's going to be playing.
Give me, somebody stole my card, but we want an invite and a VIP seat so we could all go see the Blues. I used to be with the Blues band, but we'll talk about that later.
The name of the band is True Blue. That's TRU-BLU band. You can find us on Facebook. Our next show is going to be at the Crooked Eye in Hatboro.
Oh, nice.
This Friday from 7 to 10. We do classic rock and roll, and we also do some Blondie, Pat Benatar, The Pretenders.
I was going to say that.
All right, I'm getting the stink eye from the control room. We're already over time. So, TJ, thank you so much. Take it away, and we'll see you all next week.
See you, Tom.
Happy Thanksgiving.
In the middle of a political movement, I would have said, put down Hunter's crack pipe. Right now. Right now.
I can't afford the groceries. I can't afford your gas. It's by inflation across the nation. 81 million votes, my.